So it's good time now to sit down and stop talking at the back, please. This week, as I was preparing for what I want to say today, I was thinking about Pauline, thinking about Cecil. I started thinking about some adverts on TV. The link will become clear in a moment. But maybe it's because of my marketing background, but I love a clever advert. I love something amusing, something clever, something poignant. I love it. And let's face it, all of us, when we sit down, if we watch the TV, we watch a lot of adverts. Average person in this country watches 47 adverts a day. So in terms of viewing, that's about 3,000 million views of adverts every day. Huge, huge impact that adverts have on everyone's life. Don't know whether you have a favourite at the moment. Don't know whether there's a particular one on TV. Say, that is my favourite advert. Most of them, you want to kind of skip over if you can. But there's some that are really classic. I want to show you one that's my current favourite. It's actually one from last year. But it's my current favourite advert. Bob, lights, action.
Nobody likes nasty surprises. So we let you fix your bill, then top up if you need to. Ufix from T-Mobile.
Fantastic. I love that. If you've got an issue, here's a tissue. Very good. Traffic wardens don't always give us a nice surprise. But the actors we saw in that ad, they had something good in store for the motorists. Of course, the purpose of any ad is to point us to something good. In this case, it was T-Mobile wanting us to see they had a great mobile phone deal on offer. What's the link between Pauline and Cecil's wedding and traffic wardens? I can see them scratching their head. Well, today, as we celebrate with Cecil and Pauline, we're celebrating something very special, really special. We're celebrating, of course, their recent wedding. But I want us to see today that actually, that their marriage is more than something good for Cecil and Pauline. It's brilliant for them. But actually, marriage is an advert for something else. That's what I want us to see today, is that God has made marriage as an advert for something. And just as we saw that T-Mobile advert that was to do with traffic wardens trying to advertise their latest plan. Actually, there's something in marriage which is advertising something. I want to look at that today. It's an advert for something else. And we're going to start by reading a few words in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, Apostle Paul wrote about marriage. This is what he said. He says, wives, this is instruction to wives, understand and support your husbands. He goes on, he says, wives, respect your husbands. Then he goes on to husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Husbands, lay down your lives for your wife. He explains. He says, because this is how Christ treats us, the church. He goes on, this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife. So the apostle is explaining to us there is a big link between the relationship between a husband and a wife in marriage and between how Jesus views his church and how Jesus expects his church to respond to his love. Of course, by church, not, of course, meaning the buildings. Cecil and Pauline's wedding took place in a lovely church building, a listed building, just south of River Thames. They got married in the Finnish church. Out of all the thousands of church buildings in London, there's something unique about this building. Cecil, do you know what's unique about the building you got married in? There's no other church. There is no other church in London that has this feature. It's because all good Finns are not separated from their saunas for long. And so it's got a sauna in its basement of this Finnish church. There it is. And This building we're meeting today, it's an incredible building all over London. There's amazing church buildings. And this building we're meeting in today is clearly not a stunning church building. It's octagonal wood and concrete school hall. And so it may be surprising, but actually God's concerned not with the building, but of course with the people. And if, as we read the New Testament, we see that Jesus' church is, of course, his people who are following him, not the building that we meet in or we get married in. And so it's not what Jesus had in mind when he talked about his church. I said a moment ago, I believe marriage is like an advert for Jesus and his church. So as Pauline and Cecil start out on their marriage, I believe there's a message for them from what Apostle Paul is saying in chapter 5 of Ephesians. It's something for them and for everyone who is married, because I believe good marriages are important because they advertise something of Jesus' love for us all and his relationship with his church. So whether today you're married or not, Cecil's and Pauline's marriage, and indeed all marriages, are a picture of how Jesus loves you and me, how he thinks of you and me, and how he looks for us to respond to him, respond to his love. So first this morning, something for Cecil, something for you. We read in Ephesians 5 that God's purpose in marriage for a husband is this. In Ephesians 5 verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Those verses, those amazing words there that Apostle Paul says, there's something in a husband's love for a wife which is just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we see a husband's love for his wife is not just an advert for Jesus' love for the church, but actually the husband's love is inspired and modeled on Jesus' love for his church. Notice that Paul says it's just as. So as a husband is to love his wife selflessly and give up everything to serve and care for her, Paul tells husbands that they must give up all their selfish plans, change their time schedules, change their priorities for the benefit of their wives. So that means working hard outside the home, working hard inside the home, serving your wife, helping care for the children, helping her achieve her dreams. It means putting her first. If you think of how Jesus gave himself for us, if you think of the extent to which Jesus poured out his life, if we think to the extent at which Jesus didn't think of his own comfort, of his own needs, of his own things that he wanted, all that Jesus did from the moment he started till the moment he died and gave his life for each one of us, it was a life poured out. Jesus totally modeled a life poured out for the benefit of others. There was nothing that Jesus did that was selfish. There was nothing Jesus did for his own comfort and his own convenience or his own agenda. All the time, he was living in the light of his Heavenly Father, giving his life for you and I. And it's an incredible, incredible model. Because what he's saying here is, Apostle Paul is saying, look, you husbands, there's something here to learn about how to behave to our wives. And it's just, look at Christ. Look at how Christ loved the church. Look at how Christ poured his life out. Look at how Christ didn't hold anything back. But from day after day, month after month, year after year, he lived in a way that was a life totally poured out. Totally poured out. And in the end, he gave the ultimate. In the end, he gave his very life. And that there's a model for you, Cecil. There's a model for us all in terms of husbands. Paul's saying, this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to treat your husbands. And there's a sense of your wife, sorry. There's a sense here in this, in the marriage, that not only is he saying to the husbands, look at Christ, but also as husbands walk down this path, as we walk down this path, we advertise something in just a small way. We advertise something of Christ's love for the church. There's this kind of duality. There's this kind of advertising going on. That there's something in the way a husband loves a wife that says Jesus is wonderful and loves the world in the same way, but more. And so it's a high calling. It's a high calling. It says here that that Jesus so loved the church that he gave up everything. He absolutely gave up everything. John 15, verse 3, Jesus said this, "Greater love has no one than lay his life down for his friends." And so Jesus demonstrated this incredible love. He showed us, this is how much I love you. This is how much I love you by giving myself utterly and totally for you. As Joe was mentioning, Christmas is getting here fast. And I do like Christmas, I must be honest. I like the turkey. I like the tinsel. I like all the trappings. I like the mince pies. I like the manger. I like everything about Christmas. There's something about Christmas that I just love it. I irritate people with my enthusiasm for Christmas. So sorry, you have to bear with me. Please forgive me this morning. But I do get very excited about the whole kind of thing. And of course, at this time of year, I wondered a number of times as Christmas approached, I've thought about the wise men and the gifts that they brought for Jesus. And as those wise men brought those three gifts, and you can imagine Mary there receiving on behalf of Jesus, receiving these gifts. As she received the gold, then obviously that was a very powerful, powerful message that this child is fit to be king. This child is born to be king. Gold, a gift for a king. And then as she received this frankincense, this very, very rare spice that's used in worship. But again, as she received it in her heart, was she mulled over? What would she have thought? As she says, yeah, this child is to be worshipped. This child is God in flesh. So frankincense was a very appropriate gift for the child. But then the third gift, I've wondered about this third gift. Because the third gift was this gift of myrrh, this embalming spice, this spice to put on dead bodies. What would she have thought as a mother? What would she have thought? What a strange present for a baby. There's the baby with the gold and the frankincense, and then this embalming spice, this spice to be used in death. What would she have thought? What would have gone through her mind? What would have filled her heart? And of course, how appropriate for the man, the baby that was born to die. The very reason he was born was that he would die. His destiny was that he would give his life, of course, for us all. So what better present, what better thing than this myrrh? Again, John 15, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And so I believe, you know, a husband's love for his wife is like an advert for Jesus' love for us all. He loves us so much that Jesus was willing to go to the most extreme lengths to provide a solution for all that separates the perfect, holy God from a flawed, sinful humanity. I want you to know this morning, every person here, Jesus has done everything possible to make a way that you could benefit from his love. Jesus has poured out himself. Jesus held nothing back. He did absolutely everything that you could be included, that you could be drawn in, that you could experience, that you could know. There's nothing left that Jesus didn't do. Jesus went to the uttermost, to the extreme, that we would know, that we could know, that it was there, his love was there for every single person. And so for each of us today, I want us to impress upon us that this marriage celebration that we're with them, with Pastor and Pauline, actually there's something far more profound, and there's something far more serious, and there's something far more amazing. And it's an advert for the love of Jesus, that Jesus loves you and has held nothing back in his attempt to pour his love out, to show his love to you, into your life. So Cecil, a challenge for Cecil and challenge for all husbands, inspired by the love Jesus has for his people, to model that love and direct that love specifically for our wives. To advertise to everyone that there is a God who loves. There is a God who cares. There is a God who has poured himself out and held nothing back. Incredible. Something also for Pauline. If husbands are selflessly spend their lives for the benefit of their wives, then we read this in Ephesians 5. Paul says this, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. You see, there's something in marriage, there's different aspects. One aspect of marriage is that as a wife, there's an element here of marriage being an advert about the response that Jesus is looking for in each of us. Jesus has done everything. Jesus poured out his love, given everything for each of us, for everyone, and now he's looking for a response. And so the response of a wife to a husband is a small picture, but nevertheless, Paul's saying it is a picture of our response in our love for Jesus as we respond to his love. This analogy continues in Ephesians 5 again. It says here, the wife must respect her husband. So it means for wives to value their husbands, to honor their husbands, to choose to think good of their husbands, to choose to speak good of their husbands, to think in a special way about their husbands. And so Pauline's challenge in your marriage, and the challenge for every wife, is not to be difficult with your husband, not to be manipulative, not to be pushy or nagging or demanding. Because you see, the wife's response to her husband advertises the response of Jesus' church to him. See, in view of all that Jesus done for me, how much he demonstrated his love, the extreme lengths that he's gone to prove his love. Jesus has done everything to demonstrate his love. So I must respond to that offer of love seriously. There's a respect in marriage that mirrors the attitude of Jesus to the church. And a wife must respect her husband in a greater way. We see Jesus, as he died for his people, we must respect him too. There's a story of a church minister who was conducting the marriage preparations before the actual ceremony. And on the evening before the big day, there was a lull in the proceedings, and the groom sort of came alongside the church minister, quietly made him an offer. He said, look, I'll give you £100 if you change the wedding vows. When you get to the bit where I promise to love, honour and obey, miss that bit out. Just don't ask me that bit, miss it out. So he gave the minister £100 and walked away. The day of the wedding, the bride and groom came in front of the minister, and at the part of the ceremony where the vows were exchanged, and time came for the groom's vows, the minister looked at the young man and said this, will you promise to bow down before your wife? Will you obey her every command and wish? Will you serve her in breakfast in bed every morning of your life? And promise never to look at another woman as long as you both shall live? The groom gulped, looked round, tiny voice said, yes. He leaned in towards the minister. What happened? I thought we had a deal. The minister quietly slipped the £100 back to the man. She made me a higher offer. You see, the thing is about marriage, it's not about two people trying to change each other. Actually, marriage is about two people changing to fit in with each other. And so, with marriage, this wonderful picture. A number of times I've read through this passage in Ephesians 5, and it's an incredible, powerful picture. And if you look at the punchline of that passage, Paul is saying, this is a mystery. He says, I don't really understand it. But what I do understand is it's an incredible thing that Jesus gave himself. He poured out his life for his church, that the people would respond to him, would respond to his love. And so in a small way, a marriage, every marriage, is a picture of that. So it means listening to Jesus and following his plans rather than individually getting on with our own agendas. See, no marriage would survive if both parties carried on with their independent agendas, then their marriage wouldn't survive, because they both, Cecil and Pauline, realize actually this thing is a big deal. There's a reading from the Bible that's often used in a wedding service. It's taken from the book of Ecclesiastes. It says this, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And that can seem a little strange for a wedding verse. Talk about three people. You may have heard it. Two's company, three's a crowd. So what's this about three people? And it is to accept, of course, when the third person is God himself. And so Cecil and Pauline have this amazing strength in their relationship. They don't just have each other, but they have this amazing relationship with God himself. Of course, it's not just in marriage, but in all relationships, in every relationship, Jesus makes the vital difference if he's in the center. If you take any rope and examine that rope, it's made of three strands. And those three strands are interwoven again and again and again. It's a beautiful picture of marriage. And the intertwining for Cecil and Pauline is only possible because they're both Christians. See, having Jesus at the center of their lives, they have this advantage in starting marriage that is the greatest advantage of all. Because Jesus makes the real difference. It's only by experiencing his perfect love, only by knowing his perfect love, are we truly free to love another. If I don't know that love, I'm not truly free to be able to love another. So it's not just for Pauline and Cecil, but it makes a difference for each of us, every single person here, if Jesus is the center of my life. We've seen today this picture of marriage. We've seen all that Jesus has done. Jesus has done everything, and he's here, and he's waiting for a response. And it's a personal response. Now imagine Pauline and Cecil, the moment, this is the magic moment, okay, when Cecil is proposing to Pauline. Okay, he's down on one knee, and he's there, and he's looking up into her eyes. And he's there, the music's all right, the lights are down, and he reaches in his pocket, and he gets out the ring, and he opens the thing, and then he asks, he says, "Will you marry me?" Imagine if Pauline was kind of just bored. Imagine if she was just turned her back. Imagine if she said nothing. Imagine if she just laughed. Imagine she thought, well, another time, maybe. Of course not. Of course not. Pauline said, yes. She said, fantastic. Thought you're never going to ask. No, she didn't. But she enthusiastically responded to that offer. And Jesus' offer for each of us, for every person here, Jesus' offer is, will you receive my love? And for some of us, that what that means is freshly opening our hearts. Some of us maybe never have experienced that closeness of Jesus' love. Others of us this morning would freshly like to know that. And Jesus is here with that wonderful offer, that same offer, that amazing offer of giving, pouring his love out into our lives. And he's looking for a response. Just as Cecil looked for a response from Pauline, Jesus is looking, and it's a personal response. It's something in my heart. It's something in your heart where we simply open our heart and say yes. Not later, not another time, but yes, Jesus. Could I know that love? Can I experience that love? Just going to ask that we close our eyes for a moment and just allow the reality of what I've just said just to hit us afresh today. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray for us. Father, thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Thank you for this incredible offer of your amazing love. And Lord, I pray for everyone this morning, anyone who's not said yes to receive your love, would you work today? Would you reveal your love today in a personal and amazing way? And Father, for every one of us who would like to say yes to more of your love, would you please pour out today upon us your incredible acceptance, your incredible goodness, your incredible mercy, your incredible warmth of your love. Just going to be quiet for one moment. And just while we're still, just to imagine that amazing picture of Jesus as he died for you. He gave everything, absolutely everything. And now he's looking to me. What's my response to all he's done for me? He's holding out the offer today of his love. Onmin, could you just come to the front? I'm going to ask Onmin to lead us just quietly in some worship as we just reflect on and focus on God's love, which is fresh for us here today. Thank you.